You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
But we are at the last week of this series called Christmas of the Movies, Christmas of the Movies 2, I should say, sequel to our first one, which is how that works. But this series is basically what we did is I took some Christmas movies that have really no, you know, deep spiritual meaning and pulled a deep spiritual truth out of them, just to look at some things to help us grow closer to Jesus at Christmas. And this last week, we're looking at the movie, depending on which version, but we are looking at the 1966 original called How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. And then it was redone in, I think, 2000 with Jim Carrey, which gives, like, weird nightmares and issues there with that one. And then it was redone in 2018. I was saying 1918. It was redone in 1918. Anyway, that was with Benedict Cumberbatch. I never pronounced his name last correct. You know, Doctor Strange. Anyway, but in this particular, and if you're not familiar with the story, but the clip we're going to look at, this is near the end of the movie, the story, the book, whatever you want to call it, where the Grinch, of course, he hates the Whos. He hates Whoville and how they all sing so happily, and they're noise as they celebrate Christmas. And so the Grinch comes up with this plot where he is going to steal Christmas, and he's going to take away all their Christmas stuff. He's going to take away their ornaments, their decorations, their wreaths, their trees, their gifts, the whole thing. Because he figures that when he does that, it will ruin Christmas and they'll stop singing. Because as long as they don't have their stuff, they won't be able to celebrate Christmas. And so we're going to be picking up this scene right here where the Grinch has just finished that, and now he's at the top of his mountain waiting to hear the cries and the shrieks of terror and pain and agony as the Whovillians wake up and realize that they don't have their stuff and therefore Christmas cannot happen. And so that's where we pick up this scene right here.
And the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. This sound wasn't sad. What? This sound sounded glad. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing. Without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzle of a saw. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And the point that we're looking at today is that the Grinch shows us that satisfaction is found in Jesus at Christmas. It's not in the stuff. It's not in the things, of course. You know, when we talk about, well, oh, it's not about the gifts. It's about Jesus. And that's the truth. And so I'm going to look at a passage. This is not a Christmas passage. We're going to come to a Christmas passage in a little bit. But this isn't a Christmas passage. It's in Philippians chapter 4. And we'll turn on the house lights, which is the top row, I think. There we go. And if you have a paper Bible, you can turn to Philippians. If you've got the YouVersion app, Philippians is about halfway through the New Testament. So just kind of zing and zoom that way to get to Philippians. And, of course, chapter 4 is after chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I figured that out on my own without Kirk's help. So I did the math on that, that 4 comes after 3, 2, and 1. Yes, it's excellent. So, but this passage in Philippians, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, a church that he planted. And of course, most of the New Testament, what we call the Eons, you know, Corinthians, Romans, Philippians, Thessalonians, all of those are letters written to churches in that area. And so this letter was written by Paul to the church in Philippi. And this is what he says starting in verse 10 of chapter 4. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. And so you've got Paul here explaining to the Philippian church the same thing that the Grinch figured out. That, you know what? It's not about the stuff. Because there's something more. And Paul and the Grinch both learned the secret. And so that's what I want to talk about briefly, because we're going to be short, because we still have plenty of worship in singing to do, and we've got some candles to light and all of that. So we're going to keep this a little bit shorter, but I don't want you to miss that the Grinch and Paul, the Apostle Paul that wrote this letter, they learned the secret. And just to be clear, I'm going to challenge you before I'm done this morning with, have you learned the secret? Have you learned the secret? And so the first thing that starts out with a little bit of background, and so it's thanks Philippi. That's why I've got it in brackets there. It's a little bit of background to kind of set up what Paul says here. And of course, this is a church that he planted. He's a missionary. He went around telling people about Jesus, spreading the good news. And the reason it's called good news is because, well, the news of what Jesus has done for us is good. And the Greek word for that is euangelion. Which is where we get the word evangelism. So if you grew up in church, you might have heard the word evangelism or an evangelist. And that's where that word comes from good news of the gospel, which is a similar kind of thing too. But anyway, the context here is Paul is writing this letter, and in chapter 4, he explains to them in verse 10, he says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you had renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. And the short version of what this is Paul is saying to the church in Philippi, as he sends them this letter, he says, thanks so much. Thank you for sending me a gift. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for helping me out. And the context, of course, you see he explains that, you know, they originally wanted to do something, but really couldn't at first. But now they could. And Paul was just saying, you know, I'm grateful for your support. I'm grateful that you gave to me to continue what it is that I'm doing. And of course, you can help with something similar with Trigo y Miel commercial. But I believe there are 13 ornaments currently left. 10 ornaments left, so we're down to 10. So if you want to get one of those. But the same kind of thing. We've been down there with Victor and Letty, and they have said, thank you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for letting us do what we're doing to spread the good news, to spread the message of Jesus. And so that's kind of the context that Paul uses to set up what we're really talking about here, because he just wanted to say thank you to the church in Philippi. Thanks for the gift that you gave me. But then he gets into, from thanks Philippi, he gets into the secret. And the secret is, well, it's not very secretive because he explains what the secret is, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he says, in as he continues in the passage, he says, I rejoice, or sorry, I read that part. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need. So he just clarifies. He says, look, thanks for your gift, but I'm not thanking you because I want more. I'm not like, hey, you know, now that you've helped me out, you can give a little bit more. No weird infomercial or, but wait, there's more. Like, he was just saying, I'm not saying thank you because I need anything. I'm just saying thank you because I appreciate you, because thank you. And he says, just to clarify that, he says, I'm not saying this because I was in need, because I have learned to be content. And it's really cool. This was written in Greek. That was the language that they spoke in at the time. And this word content, the root word means to have all of one's needs, to have everything you need. That's what the root of the word content. And we talk about content, and are you content? And it doesn't mean a feeling. It's not just this like, all right, I'll choose to be content. No, it means you recognize that you have all that you need. And Paul says, I have learned the secret. Well, he doesn't say that yet. He will say that in a second. But he says, I've learned to be content. And the word learn here is an experiential thing too. Like, I get it. I understand how this works now. I've learned what it looks like. And he says, whatever the circumstances. And this is important. He says, I know what it is to be in need. And again, I don't want to keep throwing out Greek words because you don't speak Greek. Your Bible is amazing, trustworthy, translated by amazing people. But the word to know is, and we use this way too. We use the word know in a couple of different uses. But the word to know that he uses here means to experience. It's not like something you know. Like, you know that, you know, the capital of France is Paris. Is that right? That's right, right? Yeah, you know that. But maybe you have gone to Paris and you know what that means in a very different way. And that wasn't a very good example. But the idea of knowing through experience versus just head knowledge. And so when Paul is writing this, I just want you to understand, Paul isn't just saying like, yeah, I've heard about what it's like to be in need, and I've heard about what it's like to have a lot. No, Paul uses this word know, this Greek word oida. And that's how I would pronounce it if I was Spanish. But that it means to know, to experience, to have been through it. So Paul says, I know what it is to be in need. I've been there. I'm not just talking to the church in Philippi or to us. He's not just talking to us today and saying, oh, you know, yeah, that, I've heard about how that is. I'm sure you'll be fine. No, this is a guy that went through it. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And if you know the story of Paul, we talked about him in the B-side series, and that's not on the slideshow loop. But Paul used to be Saul. And Saul was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was a great religious leader that persecuted, imprisoned, and killed followers of Jesus. And like, he was well respected in Jewish circles because of what he did and how he hated Christ followers. And so he had it all. And then when he gave his life to Jesus, when God encountered him on the road to Damascus, when Jesus encountered him, it changed everything. And then he ended up being beaten and imprisoned and went through it all. So he's seen both ends of the spectrum. He has experienced it. And so when he's saying what he's talking about, it's not just some head knowledge or I heard about that. He's saying, I've been there too. And I don't know where you are, because you might be in a spot right now where, you know what, I'm kind of in need. I'm in a rough spot. Maybe not financially, maybe emotionally. Maybe this time of year is hard. Maybe there's something going on at work that makes it really difficult. Maybe in your school, you're so looking forward to this week of break because you don't want to go back to school because the other students are rough. And maybe you're at the other end. Maybe things right now are just, things are good. Like, things are, we're doing well financially. Our bills are being paid. Maybe you're at a spot where you're like, you know, everything's coming. I'm winning everything. But if you win the lottery, you have to put a roof on the building. Remember, that's the agreement we made. Don't forget about that. But, you know, you just be in that spot where, like, everything is just working. And you might be in that spot. But the question is, that Paul raises, is, are we content? Are we able to say, I've got everything that I need? He says, I know what it is to be hungry, or to what you need. I know what it is to have plenty. And then he says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So he says, in all circumstances, whatever the circumstances, and then in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. And maybe you've been in that spot. Maybe you're in a spot right now where, wow, it's tight financially, and we're struggling just to put food on the table. Maybe you're in a spot where we're like, wow, we have so much food on our table. And the question is, in any of that, can you be content? And then he says, whether living in plenty or in want. So the whole point Paul is making here, he says, I've been through it all. I've been through the hard times. I've been through the good times. And I've found out that there's a secret. There's a secret to this, and it's contentedness. And this secret to contentedness says that, you know what? If I've got all the gifts under the tree and all the wreaths, and Cindy Lou Who has everything that she wants under her tree, she knows how to be content. But if the Grinch shows up and takes it all, she can still sing with the town of Whoville. Because there's something more. There's something more to this than just the stuff. There's something more to this than just the hurt and the heartache. And Paul says, I've found the secret. And one could say maybe his heart grew three sizes. Was it three sizes? Five sizes? Whatever it was, it broke that day. Yeah, boing! Five sizes. Four. Four. I got ten ornaments out on the tree. You can go get them right now. All right. Little plug there, right? Anyway, but the point is that he understood the secret. But I want you to understand this, right? And I don't want to miss anything. He knew it. He knew the plenty. He knew the want. He knew the good times. He knew the suffering. And Paul suffered seriously as a follower of Jesus. And was imprisoned. And I mean, it was his life was rough once he decided to follow Jesus. It did not get easy. It got very, very difficult. But he says he knew this thing. He knew the secret. He learned the secret of being content. And I want you to understand that this was not a mindset change. This wasn't positive thinking. This wasn't speaking life to himself. This wasn't anything like that. This wasn't any kind of an emotional change like, okay, just, yeah, you can do this. Okay, you know, I'm big, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Okay, I can tell how old you are by whether you chuckled at that. Okay, old Saturday Night Live skit. But the idea of, like, this isn't just a, hey, you can do it. Have some positive energy. I'm sending thoughts and prayers your way. This wasn't anything like that. There was something to this secret that allowed him to say, I've got everything, and I don't want any more because I'm grateful for what I have. Or to be in a spot where he says, I've got nothing. Everything's falling apart. And I'm still grateful for what I've got. But again, it's not a mindset. It's not a, you know, grin and bear it kind of thing. The secret comes from the third thing. And that is through Christ. So the secret was through Christ. And we actually, you know, with this whole idea of having a lot, not having a lot, giving, trusting God, we did two series. One was called Offer. One was called Funds, specifically about money and trusting God with your finances. So you can learn more about that. They're on the intro and outro slide to find out more about that. But now he says, I've learned this secret, but this secret wasn't about just sucking it up. It wasn't about having a better attitude. The answer, the secret for this contentment, is through Christ. And here is how the last verse of this passage ends. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. He says, the secret? The secret to peace no matter the circumstances? The secret to dealing with the heartache that comes at this time of year? The secret to get through the fact that I lost my job? The secret to get through that relationship that broke up? The secret that gets me through the spot where everything's going well and just to be happy with that? The secret is through Christ. He says, I can do all this through Him. And the Him he's referring to is Jesus. I can do all this through Him who gives me the strength. So it's not a matter of Paul going, okay, have some positivity there. Send positive vibes my way. I'm going to look in the mirror and say those things. Like, no. That's not how this works. It's through Jesus. And he says, if you want to know the secret is through Jesus. And if you're trying, if you're like, oh man, life's rough. I don't have enough. Okay, well, I'll just get more. That will make me happy. That's not the secret. You're not going to get there. You're still going to be disappointed. And if you have plenty and you're like, okay, let me just get a little bit more this time, that's not going to get you there. And if, you know, you're a Whovillian and everything is taken away from you, that doesn't mean you lose. Because the secret is found in Jesus. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I screwed it all up. But this passage is often taken out of context. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, I'm going to go in there and tell my boss I demand a raise. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Okay, I'm going to win this game. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Those are powerful things, and you could do that through Christ. But that's not the context of this verse. And again, we talked about it in our crop series, and you can find that on the intro slide. But we spent that whole morning looking at this particular verse. But what are the all things? The all things are learning how to be content when I've got a lot. And learning how to be content when the bills don't quite get paid. And learning how to be content when everything is going my way. And learning how to be content when everything's falling apart. And learning how to be content when I've got a full belly and a comfy bed and clothes on my back. And learning how to be content when I am hungry and I'm not sure where I'm going to spend the night. And the secret is through Christ. I can do all of that through Jesus who gives me strength. The all things that he's talking about is through Jesus. So the Grinch and Paul both learned that secret. But it wasn't about, obviously the Grinch wasn't about Jesus, but there was something more than this stuff. And it was the secret to being content. And that secret comes through Jesus. And I can tell you, without Jesus, you're not going to get there. Because there is a space inside of you that needs Jesus. You were created that way, and we'll get to that in a second. And without him, try. You can try all you want. It's just not going to be enough. And that's what Paul said. I've learned the secret. Do you know the secret? The secret to being content, whether you've got it all or whether it's all falling apart. When you're feeling good and when you're just feeling like you can't go on. The secret is in Jesus. So the Grinch shows us that satisfaction is found in Jesus at Christmas. So again, I said I was going to ask you, do you know the secret? Do you know the secret? Do you know Jesus, the one that can give you that contentment? And again, Paul turned his life over to Jesus and his life got really worse. So we're not saying you're going to be happy and rich, but we are saying that you're going to have something that's deeper in Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, and you probably don't even need to turn there because you're probably familiar with the story, and it's on the screen. But Luke writes his recording of the story of Jesus. He says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And just as a little side note here, if you're going to make up a story, If Luke is inventing this because it's a myth, you don't start dropping facts that people can fact check you on. You don't say during the reign of Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. You don't say during the time that Quirinius was governor. Because when people can fact check you, they can show you that it's fake. So just as a side note, Luke dropped this in there because it's real. He says, try me. He says, all returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. King David, with this series called After God about David. And he was born in Bethlehem. And so he had to go back because he's part of the line of David. Has to go back to Bethlehem. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. And he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. And we didn't, this isn't in this passage, but we found out, of course, that child was in her because the Holy Spirit, God, conceived a baby inside of Mary and said, even though she'd never been with a guy, said that this baby is going to be the one. And we'll get to that in a second. So she's pregnant. She was expecting a child. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. So we don't necessarily know it was a stable, but we do know that a manger is a feeding trough. And so they couldn't find a place to stay. There was no bed. So she has a baby and lays him in a feeding trough. And then it goes on and says, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Now, we talked about this in one of the other series, too, and I'm not going to waste too much time. But, you know, a shepherd is not an important person. Shepherds in that time were kind of like the lowest of the low. I mean, there were lower people than that. But, you know, they smelled. They were outside all the time. All they did was keep sheep, and sheep are stupid. And like, so there wasn't anything special about them, except that God says, I'm going to choose these shepherds to be the ones. And so suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And again, pausing again, if you're familiar with the story of Moses, who says, I want to see the glory of God. And God says, you can't see my glory and live. If you experienced my glory, you would die. And so eventually God says, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to hide here in this corner of this rock. I'm going to pass by. And when like the afterglow of my glory is there, then you can look. And it said that Moses' face glowed for 30 days from that moment. And so here, God's glory is shining around them. Obviously, it wasn't the full thing or they'd be dead. But it was amazing. It was a nighttime. It's kind of a big deal, sudden bright light. And they don't have lights. They don't have spotlights. And it says they were terrified, which makes sense. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. Why? Because I bring you good news. He says, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. See what the angel was saying to the shepherds was, hey, look, I'm bringing you news because this is the secret. This is the secret here. This is why it's good news. And it's going to be for everyone. He says the Savior, yes, the Messiah, or Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. And the Jewish people have been waiting for this coming one, this coming Messiah, this coming Christ that was going to fix everything. And the angels say to the shepherds, this is the one, this is the time. He has been born today in Bethlehem, city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Why was that a sign? Because you typically don't see babies lying in mangers. So they're like, oh, that's unusual. We'll go look for that. And then suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. The angel said, look. By the way, they didn't sing it, they said it. That God is coming to bring peace. With whom he was pleased. He says, this is it. This is the secret. Do you want to know the secret to getting through the hard times, getting through the good times? Paul says, I can do all this through Christ. And this angel says, this is the Christ. This is the peace that's coming. He has been born now. When the angels have returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened. Why? Because the Messiah was finally here to make things right. Because he was here to give us peace. He was here to be the Savior. Why does someone need to be saved? Because they're dying. The Savior was here. So they told everyone about it and what the angel had told them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Yeah. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus. The name given to him by the angel, even before he was conceived. Jesus means the Lord saves. And we use the term Jesus. A lot of times people use the term Jesus because they just hit their thumb with a hammer. But the word means that God saves. And so God says, I'm coming here to fix this. And so here's the secret. Do you know the secret? Here's the secret. Here's how it works. We're all sinners. We're all messed up. We're all broken people. We all don't get it right. And if you think you do, just let's talk about it, because you probably don't. But because of that, because of our sin, we are separated from God. Like, we cannot be in the presence of God. It's just impossible. As I said, Moses wanted to see the glory of God, and God says, you can't handle my glory. Like Jack Nicholson. It's like, you can't handle it, because it'll kill you. And so we're separated, and we're like, well, how do we get back? How do I get that relationship with God back? How do I fix this thing? Because without God, because of the sin, I'm on my way to hell. You're on your way to hell. We're on our way to hell. We're dying because of our sin. And the issue is that you can't be good enough. You can't earn your way back. I just read a story a couple days ago. It was kind of like, you know, if you're in a, you and I are taking a test, and we've taken a test in this class, and I get a 20%, right? What grade is that? F, right. It's an F, and I don't know how your grades work these days. But back in my day, that was an F. And if I get a 20%, but then you're like, oh, dude, I am so much better than you. I got a 40%. And in theory, yes, you got a better grade than I did. But you know what? We're still all failing. And we can't do it on our own. We can't get to God. And so Paul says, do you know the secret? And if you don't know it, if you think, well, I'm just going to do more, I'm going to earn more, I'll have a better job, that'll just solve it. If I buy this thing, if I break up with that person, that will make things better. But we can't. We're not good enough. We can't get there. And so God says, I'm going to do it for you because I love you so much. So he sent Jesus, who lived a perfect life. That's why Jesus came. That's why it was good news. That's why he was Jesus that God saved. Because he came to fix it. And it was a gift. It was by grace, which means you can't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to lose it. As we've said many times here, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. So he sent Jesus to do it for us, to take our place. He took the punishment and gave us his perfection because he lived a perfect life. And then he dies on the cross. And the way we can get the secret, the way that we can know the secret, is by believing what Jesus has done. And that's it. There's nothing you need to do. There's nothing you can try to do. You can't be good enough. It's simply believing. And if you believe in Jesus' death on the cross and what he has done for you in taking away your sin, guess what? You know the secret. Because the secret's Jesus. And so I just want to say, don't let tomorrow, don't let today, don't let any time you watch the Grinch go by without thinking, where are you? Is it rough? Do you try to figure it out? Do you try to solve it? Because the secret is Jesus. And all you need to do is believe. And so I just invite you to consider that. What does it look like? If you have questions about that, you can talk to me. If you're not sure what that looks like, maybe someone invited you and they can talk to you about that. But don't miss it, because you're never going to get there on your own. You know, maybe you'll get a 48. You're still failing. But that's why Jesus came. And that's the secret to being content. That's the secret to say, you know what, I can go through really hard times, but I've got Jesus. Because I can do all this through him who gives me the strength.